ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد my brothers and sisters, we are looking at why do we need religion in this life, a bit specific reference to Islam of course, but generally why do we need faith, why do we need religion? And as I mentioned in the beginning of this series, we are not looking at it from the perspective of the akhirah, which obviously it refers to the akhirah, no doubt about that, but specifically try and understand that even if we did not think about the akhirah, we still need religion in this life. And we went through various things. I won't repeat those. Those are previously, they have been recorded. Today, let us look at another aspect, which is peace of mind. Contentment, peace of mind. Now, this is a need for every human being. And that's the reason why this has become probably one of the most successful businesses in the world, where people are promised. People are promising peace of mind by doing all kinds of stuff. Somebody, you know, through physical exercises, through eating certain kinds of foods, through certain environments, through all kinds of, hocus pocus and Ouija boards and God knows what. I mean, all sorts of tarot cards and vastu and all sorts of complete superstitious nonsense. But people are promising that and the world flocks to them and they pay money to them and the only person who is benefited is the one who is running that racket because they make a lot of money in that process. Religion is also sold. Practically every religion, including Islam, has been made into a business. Absolutely utterly shameful, but people are doing that. They have made religion into a business and they make money out of it. And what are they mainly making money out of? They're making money out of playing on people's fears and apprehensions. Basically, that's it. Playing on their fears and apprehensions and giving them false hopes, which they have no right to give and they have no authority to give and they have no power to give, but they give them false hopes and people are foolish enough to accept that. So this is the game. So therefore, why do we need religion? Because to bring us back to the haqq, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, where is peace of mind? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is in His zikr. Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah said, verily, the itmanan of the qalb, peace of mind, contentment, call it by whatever name you like, is in the zikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. It is not in doing this ritual or that ritual. It is not in eating this food or that food, this exercise or that exercise. It is in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. The primary zikr of this, of course, is the salah. But after the salah, after the first salawat, then it is in the general zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever way it might be. Now, what does this do? This does two things. Three things. One is, it gives us contentment, which is peace of mind. Contentment is not complacency. I think these two words must be understood clearly. Contentment is not complacency, just like confidence is not arrogance. These are again two things people get mistaken about. There's no need to walk around like a mouse. Good to be confident, it is good to show confidence. There's nothing wrong with that. But arrogance is different. Arrogance is to look down on somebody else. Confidence is to be sure of yourself. So being sure of yourself, alhamdulillah, we should be sure of ourselves. But looking down on somebody else, this is haram. This is not permissible. Similarly, contentment is to be happy and pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Complacency is to have no ambition, is to just, sit around and not do anything to better yourself. That's not desirable at all. Complacency is bad. But contentment is highly desirable and it's something which is really the ultimate aim of, psychological aim of life, to be content. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So whatever Allah has given. Otherwise, what happens is that you live your whole life, you live a life of, if you're not content, then your whole life is a life of frustration. There is a very good friend of mine, and throughout our life, I mean, I've known him for now for almost 40 years. Throughout life, every time you speak to him, you say, well, how are you? He said, yeah, I'm okay, but you know this. So there's always some complaint. And he has got, he has held his career, has been absolutely brilliant. He's gone from one great job to another great job and, you know, traveling all over the world and this and that. But not once did I hear a word of thanks from his mouth. No, never. Always. How are you doing? Yeah, that's good. I believe went. Yeah, I went to America, but you know, this jet lag and this. I mean, Ajib, I sometimes tell him, you know, what kind of curse is this? Because you only see the negativity of everything. Yeah? I mean, there is jet lag, but you are seeing the world. Alhamdulillah, you have gone all over the place. You have seen such beautiful things. I mean, the only thing you see out of all that is the negative aspect of it. You know, I got tired, this happened, that happened. So how it, as far as I am concerned, it's a curse, because at the end of the day, you are not able to enjoy what Allah has given. What good is it? Yeah? How much better is somebody who has less, but who is happy with that? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this. I am safe, I am good, I am sitting here, you know, I can do whatever I like. I don't have, a farm of 1,000 acres. I don't want a farm of 1,000 acres. It's a pain in the neck. Who wants to look after 1,000 acres? Much better to have a friend who has a farm of 1,000 acres. You go and relax and enjoy and go home. Khalas, let him worry about it, right? So contentment is the biggest. I tell you, there is no ni'mah which is bigger than the ni'mah of contentment. And this is not my saying. This is one of the ahadiths of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They asked him, what is the biggest wealth? He said, the biggest wealth is contentment. This contentment comes through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second thing which the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to do is what I call perspective. It puts you in a particular place. Perspective is beneficial for a number of reasons, any number of reasons. I mean, for strategic planning, this, that. I'm talking about two major things in life. One is bereavement and loss. Without perspective, you will be destroyed. You lose somebody near to you, close to you, who you love and so on and so forth, that will be the end of your life. You will go and commit suicide because now you feel my life is gone, finished, khalas. After this, there is nothing. Why does a Muslim not do that? And alhamdulillah, may Allah protect our brothers and sisters. They are going through and they have gone through conditions which are unbelievable. If you think about and see what the people are going through in Syria, for example, today as we speak, in Palestine, for example. I mean, how do you deal with that without this issue of perspective? If you look at Palestine, I mean, these are published incidents. The IDF, the Israeli army, goes into Gaza, breaks into a house. There is this mother. She has 8 or 9 children, small children. The soldier points a gun and he says, these 4 are for Israel. Bang, 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 bang. Kills 4 in front of her eyes and goes away. She's sitting there watching 4 of her children dead. Can you imagine this? I can't, my mind even doesn't even work. I mean, I can't even imagine this. But this is actual fact. But have you heard of people in Palestine or Syria or anywhere, Muslims, alhamdulillah, who have committed suicide because of despair? I have never heard any such incident. I've never heard of a Muslim going jumping off the building because, oh, my life is... No, nothing. They are able to deal with... I'm talking about bereavement. You see, you know, we lose our, you know, people, our close family members, and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them Jannatul Firdaus. But that is a natural thing. And if somebody dies, but these kinds of things, these kinds of you know, being killed and violent deaths and so on, I mean, this is far more difficult to deal with rather than a natural death. But alhamdulillah, Muslims are able to deal with that. How? Because they know that this is not the end of life. Yes, there is bereavement. Yes, my near and dear person has passed away. But alhamdulillah, they have gone into another state. And if they died like this, they died shaheed. If they died even without this, they died on iman. Inshallah, al-musta'an, Jannatul Firdausul A'la is theirs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Allah will give them Jannah. Yes, I feel sad because of the parting, because I missed the person. But my life is not destroyed. Nothing is destroyed. Alhamdulillah, My father, mother, wife, husband, son, daughter, whoever is, alhamdulillah, they are today in a far better situation than I am in this life living. And one day, inshallah, we will meet them. Now, this perspective comes from how? From the religion. If we did not understand this, if we did not understand what is akhirah, if we did not understand, if religion did not, if Islam didn't tell us what is going to happen to us after our death, then what do we do? We say, my life is over, khalas. So, why do we need religion? To deal with these traumatic incidents in life. May Allah protect us all from that. But if it happens, we deal with that. Similarly, terminal illness and so on and so forth. Somebody gets news of terminal illness. Oh, you got cancer, you got so many. Yeah, okay. I mean, one doesn't wish for it. But if you got cancer and you got news of that beforehand, then alhamdulillah, you've got time now to make tawbah, to set your stuff, all your affairs in order, to make wasiyat to whoever it is and so on and so forth. And ruju ilallah, and inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a state of iman. Now, who other than someone who understands Allah and understands the akhirah can think like this? Otherwise, you have the standard thing. We go from doctor to doctor, treatment to treatment, this system, that system, that system, finally, gone. You spent God knows how many millions, destroyed whatever life quality you had, or you could have had. Anyway, you're going to die anyway one day. I mean, that's not going to get postponed. Similarly, religion and the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and akhirah helps us to deal with the other side, which is great happiness. Right? You get great wealth, great success in life, influence, power, authority, money, so on and so forth. People go mad with that. People go crazy, nuts. If you look at the various stories in the Quran, they're all about this. What made Ramesses the Fourth and the pharaohs of Egypt, what made them declare themselves to be God? Wealth and power and authority. Right? If they didn't have the money, they would not be going around saying, I am God. Because they had the money, it got to that situation. What made Qarun say, all of this is mine? They said, be thankful to Allah. He said, what has Allah got to do with this? Astaghfirullah. What made him do that? Wealth. Even today, if you look around us, why are people behaving in insane ways? Because of wealth. Wealth which is not contained within the boundaries of the perspective that religion gives us. The one who has the wealth and who also understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu, behaves in a different way. We've heard the stories of Ar-Raji, for example, Sheikh Ar-Raji, Hafizullah in Saudi, the one who owns the Raji Bank and all that. Charity and spending money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to work to build his own akhirah, trying to create, he's created in King Abdulaziz University, the Center for Islamic Studies, for Islamic Financial Studies that is set up by him and so on. So, setting up institutions, to do something good in the world. So, somebody who has wealth and who has perspective which religion gives him is a person who is saved from the evil of wealth. Wealth is like a knife. A knife is neither good nor bad. You take the knife and use it for good things, it is good. You could take the knife and stab somebody, it is bad. So, knife by itself is value neutral. Similarly, wealth is value neutral. Wealth, money is money. It is neither good money nor bad money. But what you do with the money, how you earn it and where you spend it, this is where that's where the question also on the Day of Judgment. And that is what religion gives us, perspective with regard to these two things. When there is loss and when there is gain. In both places, religion gives us balance. And balance is what we need. You want to be balanced, you want to be in the straight place, not freak out on one end or the other end. Bismillah ta'ala, tomorrow we will see what else we can find out from this. But that's a reminder for myself and you that these are the many reasons why we need religion, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need this anchor in life without which we will be drifting all over the place. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to appreciate and to benefit from this deen and to make this a means of the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and najah on the day of judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.